In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is among us. When a human person comes into existence, when you and I are born into the world, you and I enter from nowhere. Nowhere. We had no existence. We were nothing. Nothing. Total absence. Total absence enters into the gates of time. And why? Why do we enter time? Because we move into eternity. Ah, isn't that interesting? We are born into time, but then we begin to move outside of time. The human person enters into what we call the ephemeral world, the passing world, the temporary world. But we're moving on to a kingdom that is not ephemeral, not passing. So that's how we begin. When Christ was born, he's the eternal one. And he enters into the narrow constraints of time, its limitations. How about that? The limitations. The one who is immense became confined to space. The one who is pure spirit now is confined to a body, enfleshed. Being fully God, which nothing can contain, some 2,000 years ago came to know a particular vessel in which he would operate and act in the world. I spoke on Christmas night about wonder, and that these events of this season of Christmas, season of Theophany, should cause us to wonder at what's happening, at what has happened 2,000 years ago and what continues to happen. Wonder. Because unfortunately, we don't wonder much anymore. We are so bombarded with images constantly, and we're so busy. We don't stop to wonder. I hope you did take some time to reread the narratives of the Christmas night, the Christmas event. I hope you did stop and look at the manger in a whole new way this year. God becoming man is the wonder of wonders. I just think of whole treatises, whole tracts and books have been written on that very event. It's the wonder of wonders. How does our liturgy, that word that we often hear in the liturgy, how does it describe it in all things about God? He uses this word, ineffable, indescribable. When we're talking about God and what he's doing in our world, we're talking about these 12 days from December 25th until January 6th. It is ineffable, indescribable about what's been happening. Call it Christmas, call it Theophany, call it Epiphany. It's all meaning the same thing. It's ineffable that God became man, that man might become God. It is ineffable to realize that God, and we see this always on the placards in the football games, John 3:16, it is ineffable to realize that God so loved the world that he entered it as one of us. A world overcome by sin, overcome by death. He entered a world not because it was beautiful and pristine and clean. It was nasty. It's wrought with suffering, filled with pus, swollen. It's not pretty. Look at our news. It's not pretty. Look what's going on in the Holy Land. It's not pretty. Look what's going on in Africa. It's not pretty. Look what's going on in Eastern Europe. It's not pretty. Look how in our own nation, how we treat one another. It's not pretty. This is not a pretty world that God entered. It's wrought with suffering. For what reason then did God experience and choose to endure this with you and me? Should cause us, we can use the word ineffable, that God would do this. On Christmas night, God delivered, think about it, God handed over to you and me a child born in Bethlehem, a frail child, a weak and defenseless child. That's how God came into the world. God abandoned himself and he surrendered himself to you and to me and to every single human being. That is ineffable. We now abandon ourselves to God. That happened on the day of our baptism. On that day, you and I were plunged, the word baptism, baptizo, coming from that Latin, Greek word, plunge, to immerse, to be immersed into the waters of new life. Those waters, as I preached last night at the Great Vespers, they are the cleansing waters. They preserve you and me from death, that is eternal separation from God. And so today the church sings, and I think we do it next week, all you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. This is the news. This is the news of today. Alleluia. When Jesus the Christ came to be baptized in the Jordan, he came as the sinless one. And yet, let's look at how what's happening. He's standing among the sinners. One among the sinners. Nobody notices him. Nobody notices him. Pretty soon John does. He's the only one. So here it is, the Lord standing among the sinners with the sinners. And at the same time, at this moment, in this day, on this day when he is baptized, what is he doing? He's uniting now again human will and divine will. That's what's happening. He's uniting human will with the divine will. So on this day, as I preached on Christmas night about the self-offering of God, the self-offering we see in the Blessed Mother, the self-offering of Joseph. We all have an image of him. This is not Joseph. All right, we see this. Well, today again, we see the same theme, the self-offering of God in the person Jesus. He's self-offering himself to the Father, and he offers himself to you and me. And how does Christ describe this act? In order to fulfill all righteousness. His act was to unite what had been separated by the sin of Adam. This is the fulfilling of all righteousness. This is the meaning of the season from December 25th until today. And of course, the Theophany goes on for 8 days. So it goes on until January 14th. This is what we're celebrating. That God in the person Jesus the Christ has fulfilled all righteousness, restoring the union, the communion between God and mankind. In the Jordan, Jesus the Christ, the new Adam, the new man, the new creation, begins now the journey to fully restore us, to bring all righteousness. And so what happens today? He begins his trek to the cross. Indeed, countless men were being baptized by the forerunner on that day. And before then, countless people. It says in the scriptures, they were coming in from all over the region to meet John the Baptist, to be baptized. And each of these people went into the water with John, and what were they doing? They were proclaiming and confessing their sins. And what was the water doing in the Jordan then? It was taking on all these sins of mankind. It became laden with the sins of mankind. Jesus of Nazareth, however, had no sin to proclaim or to confess. So when he entered the waters of the Jordan, that dirty water due to sin, the waters of sin clung to him. All the sins from the beginning of time until the end of time, they clung to him at that very moment. And he carried them for 3 years. And he took them atop the Golgotha. And he put sin to death. The wonder of the season. Today is a dread event. He who is pure is taking on to himself all the impurity of mankind, everything from beginning to end, and he's carrying it to the cross. And today, the church will have this ritual of the blessing of the water. The church blesses this water, a natural water, praying to God to sanctify that water, to make that water holy. So what Christ began doing in the Jordan, this water continues to do 2,000 years later. Whatever this holy, sanctified water touches, makes holy again. Holy water cleanses that which is unholy, and it renews that which is old. Now we think of St. Paul. Sin makes things dirty, impure, and sin makes things old. Holy water makes things new and refreshes all things. Everything this holy water will touch makes it a participation in the kingdom of God. Everything, all things and all people. It will touch our homes. It will touch our bodies. It will touch our cars. It will touch our gardens. It will touch everything. And what is it doing? It's making it new and a participant in the new creation. Just as Jesus the Christ touched the waters of the Jordan and made them pure, so will this water, whatever it touches, will make it pure. Just as Jesus of Nazareth took upon himself the evil of the world and washed it all away, so today the God-man will come upon this water and bring it eternal life, give it eternal power, give it the power to give new life. Because this water is different from every other water. This water will have the word of God upon it, and this water will have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now that's powerful. That's powerful. The Christmas theophany season, it celebrates many events if you've been reading the gospel passages every day. But ultimately today is celebrating, or this season is celebrating, one main event. God with us, so that we might be with God. Christ is among us.